are listening to 89.5 FM KPOO San Francisco, and welcome to Reality Sandwich, where every Thursday at noon we serve up a palatable taste of the truth on topics of the mind, the body, spirit, community, all six areas of the Healthful Living model, and you can learn more about that at healthfulliving.org. My name is Martin Matthews. I'm a certified clinical and medical hypnotherapist with Healthful Living, and most importantly, Healthful Living advocate, and I'm here today with my co-host,
Julie Matthews. I'm a certified nutrition consultant.
And today we're tremendously excited to have with us on the show the creators and directors and producers of a phenomenal new documentary film called Food Matters. Julie and I have watched the movie a couple of times, and it just kind of speaks from our heart, doesn't it, dear?
Oh, definitely. Well, it's right up our alley for sure.
I mean, everything that we talk about with respect to healthful living and kind of how we've been describing that on the show over the past number of years and what we mean about living consciously and being aware of our impact upon everything, most particularly what we put into our bodies, the film covers in so many different areas of awareness. And I just think it's really going to serve a tremendous awakening, and we're really excited about it.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, then let's just go to our guests. We have on with us, calling in from Australia, James Colquhoun and Lauren T. and Den Bosch. They're the directors and producers of Food Matters, and you can see the trailer for it at foodmatters.tv. Really just will knock you out of your seats, I think, the first 2 minutes of this trailer.
Mm-hmm.
So we send people to the website. Let's see if they're on the line.
Hi, Martin. Hi, Julie. How are you going?
Hello. Good, good. So glad to have you on.
Fantastic. It's a pleasure to be speaking with you both. It's been really great to be in contact with you, and it's great to be here.
Great. Fellow nutrition consultants. So this will be fun.
Right. Yeah, now, right. That's right. You guys are, your background is in nutrition, is that right?
That's right. Yeah, we studied through the Global College of Natural Medicine, which is in Santa Cruz, close by to you guys. We studied via correspondence. And basically, after learning about the importance of nutrition, and I guess we'd studied personally for quite a number of years prior to going to the Global College of Natural Medicine as having an in-depth personal interest in this topic because of how it's affected, I guess, our lives and our close family and relatives. Mm. And we were just absolutely astonished at some of this information, this life-saving information, was not more widely available or more widely in the public domain for people to draw upon, especially if they're going through some sort of illness or looking to even prevent illness from happening in the first place. So that was a really large motivating factor for us.
So we're really personally compelled to do something about it. You know, so many people just, you know, feel that way but then don't take action. What made you say, you know, we've got to do something?
Well, I guess, I mean, it's a combination of two sort of factors. First, as I just mentioned, the point that having learnt a lot of this information and realizing that such life-saving information was not available to people. And secondly, I was quite disturbed at some of the dangers of more conventional approaches, some of the dangers they were having upon society, that were, again, not widely spoken about or in the public domain. So I had these two aspects, and I'd seen these two aspects, the life-saving information not available and the dangers not communicated to people. Mm. I'd seen these two aspects in our close family circle and how that was impacting some of our family's lives. And I was just like, well, if this is happening here, it's happening the world over, and statistically, a lot of these dangers are proving to be affecting a lot of the Western world and a lot of communities around the world. And I don't know, I couldn't stand for it. Laurentine and I actually started working on a book after the years we'd been studying. And we just had a sort of shining moment where, you know, a book is fantastic and it's a really positive way of reaching people, but it's a very flooded market. There's a lot of books on the topic already, and it hasn't seemed to generate that mass appeal, which has tipped a lot of the community's minds into thinking this direction, or at least considering that these alternatives exist. So we thought the medium of film would be an optimal avenue for us to get this information out there, and it's proving to be great so far.
Well, absolutely. I mean, we firmly believe that the truth is coming back into popularity, and that there is. I mean, we're noticing this all around, a dramatically increased desire among people for integrity and truth and reality, and you know, figuring things out on their own. They've been fed too much phoniness for too long, and people are reaching a break point. And it's so brilliant in the film how, and this is my opinion, of course, and people need to go to foodmatters.tv and check out the preview and get the DVD for yourself to really get a sense of it for your own opinion, but brings the information across in a way that's just so matter-of-fact and speaks to me as a human being who cares, that it's just so informative, and I appreciate that so many different subjects are covered in it. And
yeah, you know, it's like this topic, you know, in the 80, 90 minutes that the film is. How long is the film exactly?
It's 80 minutes long.
80 minutes. Okay. So in that time, I mean, you know, I do 80-minute lectures. I do, sometimes I do 3 or 4 hour lectures. And, you know, that's a lot of information to communicate. And, you know, even then there, you know, it could be days of information. So trying to put all of that into 80 minutes of a film with a lot of different ideas and perspectives, it's such a big task to take on. Which part of the story of nutrition do you want to talk about, you know? But I thought you did a great job kind of touching on a lot of different areas, kind of a good, well-rounded look at, you know, as much as you could with keeping continuity and everything.
That's great, Julie. Thank you so much for your wonderful comments there. It was an absolutely extraordinary challenge to try to manipulate the mass of footage and content we had into an 80-minute, I guess, presentation on the importance of nutrition and natural healing.
Mm-hmm.
And it was something, Laurentine and I, obviously, similar to yourself, Julie, we're very passionate about nutrition, and there's so many aspects we wanted to include. But it was really important having our production team there with us as well, our editors and graphics and co-producers, who were able to look at it and say, well, they had an expertise area in entertainment and in communicating a point effectively. And I guess having that team come into this project without any prior nutritional knowledge helped us have a part of our team that were able to digest the information, should I say, in a way that would be and move it around in a way that would be best suited for people to have this information communicated to them. It was quite an interesting challenge and nothing like I've ever been through in my life, but we're really happy with the end result, and we're getting a wonderful response, so it's fantastic.
Wow, well, that's great.
And hats off to you guys for allowing yourself to be that, you know, conscious of working with a objective team to help you communicate your message and be aware of, you know, how the audience is receiving it. We call our show Reality Sandwich, and our tagline is a palatable taste of the truth, because if it's not palatable, people get triggered and they become defensive and they won't even take it in. So, you know, the film just allows people to take this information and you know, there's a couple of push points here and there, but it doesn't knock you off your seat such that you start rejecting the information. And that's tremendously important. So hats off on that. Now, I want to ask you, let's get into some of the things that you are bringing up in the film that you feel people, you know, need to really absolutely know about.
Sure.
We start off with, you know, telling us about the quality of foods and such. So can you talk a bit about, you know, what's really going on with food quality?
Well, I think we're really excited to have a lot of the contributors to the film have a focus on the importance of where our food is coming from, because I think having a look at the cycle of how our food chain and how humans interact with our ecology or our environment is the basis. That's before disease, that's before anything happens. I mean, we have to look at how we're interacting with our planet. And I think this has reached far-reaching consequences beyond just nutrition, but also to our whole psychological approach to how we treat our planet and how that impacts sustainability and the environment. So I think we look at it from a nutritional perspective, but I think it has really far-reaching views as well. But how we approach it is that we really have to be looking at where our food comes from and how our food is treated before it enters our mouth or goes onto our plate. And the primary tenets of what we try to bring up in the film, or what is brought up by our teachers in the film, is that our agricultural systems are not supporting the health of our food, and therefore that denourished food is not supporting the health of our bodies. So we really need to be looking at our agricultural systems and how that's affecting the quality of our food, and which is obviously leading us in a direction of more organic, biodynamic, sustainable agriculture, which supports the earth and supports the nutrients in the soil, which then supports human health. It's a very simple equation, and it eliminates the problems of these cocktails of pesticides and herbicides and other residues, which may be permissible in small levels. But if we have a cocktail of those chemicals interacting within our bodies, the result is we don't know what impact that's having on us, but it's clearly not supporting our body's own immunity, and it's not supporting our body's own health. So the agricultural systems, I think, is where it starts, and that's the premise, that's the building blocks upon which we start the film, and then we move into more about the nutrition aspects and how that's affecting the body.
Well, you make this point. It says here in the film that the point is made that food is deficient, so we can't help but be deficient.
That's right. I think what most people don't know, I think more people are becoming aware of this, and I'm sure that a lot of the people listening to this show right now are aware of these truths, or are becoming aware of these truths, that if you go to your local supermarket or grocer and you purchase just conventionally grown fruits and vegetables, most people don't know that a lot of those foods have actually accumulated pesticide and herbicide residues, and a lot of the times the nutrient content of those foods are much lower than, say, sustainably grown or organically or biodynamically grown fruits and vegetables. So as you're right, one of the teachers, Charlotte Gerson, in the film, she explains that, if we eat deficient and toxic food, we can't help but be deficient and toxic. And that's a glaring truth that I think is one of our primary messages, for sure.
Right.
And, I think a lot of people today, they just don't even really know that their food is toxic. And so just even, I think, understanding what good food is and what how to get it in a manner that doesn't have pesticides or toxins or things like that is a huge thing. And I think that comes across well. And I love how there was someone talking about what we grow on the land, and that was such a vivid picture for me. We can grow acres and acres of corn and soy like we do now, or we can take that land and we can have a biodynamic diverse farm with superfoods and things. And it's just such a visual, you just look at the fields of wheat or corn and they just look deficient, they look dead. But then you got thinking of a farm and the greens and the berries and all that stuff, and I just think, like you said, we have to look at how we even think of the whole concept of food and where we get our food and how we get our food. It's not just, like they've been trying to sell us for years, calories, fats, carbs, protein, that kind of stuff. There's so much more to it.
That's right, Julie. I mean, that whole scientific analysis of food, like I have to eat so many calories, or I need so many grams of fat, or I can't have this fat, or I can't have that fat. I think that whole model is being swept out the door now, and I guess through your studies in nutrition, you tend to agree with me as I move towards this point here. What we need to be looking at is not counting calories or these sorts of things. We need to be looking at the whole approach of where is our food coming from? Is it clean? Is it sustainable? Is it organic? Is it supporting our body? Are we, supporting our body? And if we focus on that, then we don't need to be worrying about counting calories. We don't need to be worrying about are we getting enough nutrients or vitamins and minerals, because if we're focusing on eating foods that are naturally high in all these nutrients, then, we're not going to have any problems of deficiency or toxicity, and it's going to sweep the old model out the door.
Right, right. Yeah, and this is the other thing about the film, and you don't necessarily, I don't know if you say this outright, but it seems to be there. Just seeing the abundance and the satisfaction from eating all of these foods versus when you think of those people that are on diets and the restrictive diets and the, you know, diet bars and all that stuff. It's like, it's so much work and effort to eat, to count all that stuff and eat such poor quality stuff. And then, you know, we just need to turn that on its head and let people know that if you eat food that nourishes you, you're not going to feel starving and you're going to, you know, feel better and all that good stuff. And it kind of all goes together in a big picture. So, you know, we're big fans.
Great. That's exactly the message. Fantastic.
So right on this very point of how we seem to have it so kind of inverted in our perspective here, the film talks about that inverted values of society. We've gotten confused. So share with us what your kind of learning was there.
Well, I mean, David Wolf, I mean, I find David a fantastic contributor to the film for many reasons, but I think he talks about a values inversion as well, where he talks about, you know, we'd rather spend money on, you know, a car or a house or rent or these other, I guess, luxuries, and some of them are part of our life's expenses, but we'd rather focus spending money on those areas as opposed to investing in foods that actually support our life. And, I mean, when you start to see this equation, you start to be quite astounded at how we don't value the importance of proper nutrition in our life as much as we should do. When you look at the impact of, if you eat a whole natural diet and you support your body as best as possible with proper nutrition, that can prevent you from a whole raft of illnesses and diseases. And you can't put a dollar amount on what effect those illnesses can have on your life as opposed to the investment you make with good nutrition. So I think we're really trying to, and it's great what you brought up before, that you don't feel that the film really impresses anything upon you. It doesn't force you to think anyway. It just merely presents a lot of information in a non-challenging or non-confronting way for the viewer to decide what they think is best. But what one of our primary motives out of the film was that we hope that we can help to structure people's belief systems so that they feel that these foods, these whole natural organic and more raw foods, are supporting their body, and then they naturally make those choices instead of it having to be a willpower thing. I think we're moving out of the whole willpower era as well, where I have to do this, I have to do that, and into an era of freely choosing to eat natural foods, because we know that is the most optimal direction that a human diet can evolve into.
Mm-hmm. When you talk about the values inversion, and it reminds me of, we always, I don't know, I'm curious if it's like this in Australia or anywhere else maybe you've been or looked at for this film, but in America we always think our value around food is inexpensive food, cheap food, the lowest dollar value is somehow seen as the best thing. And, you know, people, we live in San Francisco, and so it's fairly pricey over here, and so for me to get a dozen of pastured eggs is about $7.50, and people's jaw drops when I say that. But even if you live in other parts of the country and say it's $5, that is significantly higher than if you bought your conventional egg. And what my question always to people is, well, why do you think that other egg is so cheap? Not why is this egg so expensive? Why? Where did we get the idea that everything should be so cheap? And I'm curious, is it like that in other parts of the world, or is that sort of, maybe more of an American phenomenon?
Well, that's a really fantastic observation. It's one that we keenly recognize as well, and it very much exists in Australia as well. We have a very price-conscious approach to food in Australia as a whole populous nation, and gathering what you're saying in America and through my observations, it's very similar there. I think how you put it then is fantastic. If you say, why do you think that egg is so cheap?
Right.
I think that's a really good way of flipping that argument on its head. But if we look at where these belief systems have come from, I think it reverts us back to our modern industrial capitalistic society, and we have these multinational corporations who have essentially created price wars in order to dominate volume in the marketplace. And it's through that focus on reducing prices to have more volume in their store, they're willing to use any form of production necessary to achieve the lowest price. And that is, most of the time, the cheaper production value goes against human health. And so the cheaper the food, essentially, in most cases, I mean, I'm not saying in all cases, it's probably not a good as good a decision for human health. But I think what we would like to encourage people, how we'd like to encourage people to see this, is each time you go shopping, we love this analogy, each time you go shopping and you've got your little shopping trolley or your little basket, it's like this analogy of voting with your shopping trolley. And I think that is such a powerful metaphor for people. Each time you go shopping, when you choose the organic, free-range, you know, eggs, or you choose the organic avocado or bananas and the whole foods, and you choose, like, great, you know, fermented foods, and you choose these foods, then the public demand for those foods is going to grow. And as the demand grows, the price comes down. It's an economics calculation. So I think if we can communicate this message to people in a massive way, and that shifts how people shop and how people choose their foods, then we're going to see a revolution not only in wellness, not only in health, but also an economic revolution in how we're producing food and growing food and serving it to the masses.
Yeah, well, this is precisely why we're obviously chatting with you today, because we're all, you know, many of us aligned in this similar vision of helping to reorient collective humanity in the direction of health, and remembering that everything that they do in any given moment is a choice and has a reverberation down the line to reinforce the kind of things that they wish to see in the world. And bringing that information to people and helping them to remember that choice and then directing them positively is one of the most powerful things that you can do.
That's right. It's definitely one of the most empowering things we as humans do have a choice, and I think it's a very exciting time that we live in.
Hey, I'd love to, in a minute, go on to some of the conditions that you talk about and some of the things that we know about nutrition and the, you know, what's not out there on the subject. But before we do, I want to kind of clear up a question that I had in my mind, and I think I actually already know the answer just given the way I'm hearing you speak about the subject right now. So in the movie, he is the main raw food, David Wolf, that's it.
David Wolf, yeah. Yep.
He talks a lot about raw foods, and I think raw foods are great. And he talks, you know, most raw food people are vegan, so he talks a lot about vegetables and the importance of getting, you know, these foods and things. But there are a comment or two about meat, commercial meat not being so great, and so I just wanted to get a sense from you, because I didn't feel like there was any agenda being pushed there. But you know, I know that because there were some, boy, there's so many topics, and if you delve into one area, sometimes you need to explain it for a half an hour, and so I can see that it would be really hard to pick and choose. So I just wanted to, for people that might see the film, get a sense of where the two of you are coming from in terms of, you know, your food philosophy and where you stand on meat or other things that maybe weren't touched on as much in the film because you didn't really have a chance to explain yourself.
That's great, Julian, and that's really excellent you brought it up. I think you're right in that. I mean, we've got a certain amount of time in this film to create an impression about what we're about. But obviously, when you start opening up some of the big nutrition questions that are, I guess, highly debatable in the public eye, then you're creating a six DVD set out of one movie. So I think looking at our philosophy towards nutrition that we're trying to compile in the film, the teachers range from a varying degree of backgrounds, from raw foodist, vegan, to Andrew Saul, you may not know, one of the major contributors to the film with the beard and the glasses. He's actually an ex-dairy man himself. So I think, you know, there's our impression of it is that we needed to pull some key points to drive home to people. And I think what we're finding overall in society is that people are not eating enough raw, organic, plant-based foods. So we wanted to drive that point so that people increase the level of raw, organic, plant-based foods that they are having in their diet. Mm-hmm. Additionally, we wanted to touch on organics and sustainable foods, and we think that people need to increase the level of organic and biodynamic foods in their diets. I think we moved up to a point where we were, one of our teachers stressed that moving in the direction of 50, 60, up to 80% of your diet with those, that approach to health, or to nutrition, sorry, should I say, was important and optimal. And we sort of left the 20, 30, 40, 50% else out of the equation in the film. And we've sort of done that intentionally because going into the area of nutrition, that area of nutrition is quite difficult, because I think the best way for us to explain it is that each person has an element of biochemical individuality. If we took 10 people off the street and all conducted a full nutritional analysis on them, hair mineral analysis, and did an allergy test on all of those people, we're going to find that some people react to dairy and lactose and some people don't. We're going to find that some people might not be suitable to eating meat at all, or even large quantities of meat, and some people will be fine. Some people might react to wheat and gluten, and some people might not. So I think any time the topic of nutrition is brought up as to communicating what's best for the population, it's really difficult to say 100% that everybody should do X, Y, Z.
Right.
And so what I think we've tried to do in the film is that we've tried to focus on those points that are wide-reaching. We've tried to focus on those points that are effective for the whole population. And I think those key elements are increasing the amount of raw organic vegetables, raw organic plant-based foods in people's diet is important, but covering and focusing on nutrient-dense foods in achieving, you know, optimum nutrient balance within the body. But the other area is a little bit of a grey area, and we think that's important for people to consult with, I guess, nutritional practitioners and naturopaths in their area,
mm-hmm.
Who might be able to help guide them in that other area to best balance their own body's biochemistry to support, I guess, if any illness they're going through or if they wish to reach optimum health.
Right, right. Well, I mean, I definitely agree. I mean, if you open up the subject of fats, if you open up the subject of saturated fats, if you open the subject up of meats, you know, you could do a whole movie just on any one of those topics. So
I know. We're like, I think, and just to pull it back to the movie instead of us going into some ethereal conversation
right.
about the ins and outs of nutrition, which could last for days,
right.
Going back to the movie, I think, as a movie, we wanted to focus on, okay, well, we really want to improve the people's awareness about good nutrition and where there are gaps in our, not so much in our knowledge, but our understanding of how to apply good nutrition. But I think we wanted to use disease and illness as cases in point.
Mm-hmm.
So we took a lot of the researchers and scientists and medical doctors and naturopaths in our film. We focused on finding those who specialize in the connection between nutrition and illness in certain areas, and looking at which areas are getting good results and what focus of nutrition was used in getting those results. And I think that's directed a lot of our research, and I think that's the point we're trying to get across in the film.
Sure. And I do think it comes across very well, and I felt like that initially anyway, that you know, it's all good. I mean, all those principles are good things, and so and we certainly can use more of them. So, for people that are just tuning in, you're listening to KPOO San Francisco 89.5 FM. You're listening to Julie and Martin Matthews, and we are talking to James and Laurentine of the movie Food Matters. And I wanted to find out, does Laurentine have anything she's dying to add to the conversation, or?
Yeah, sure. I mean, she'd love to add a few things. I'll put her on. I'm not hiding her in the closet, I promise.
Yeah, it's hard when we're just talking on two different phones.
Yes.
Yeah, I'd love to add some more to that conversation. I think it's fantastic that you guys wanted to interview us. Thank you very much.
Yes.
And yeah, with what we really wanted to target is people that are confused and have those people that have illnesses. And if you're not feeling well, because these days, if you're not feeling well, we've become so dependent on going to a doctor. And you know, if we have a headache, you know, you just go to the pharmacy and take a pill. And if we've become really dependent on that as a notion in our society.
Mm-hmm.
And we really believe with this film that through watching this film, we give people more of an avenue towards looking at becoming independent, looking at alternatives.
Yes. You know, we feel really strongly about that. You know, it feels, you know, to me it feels like the difference between freedom and not. You know, I you know, we have the unfortunate situation of having a family member in a nursing home right now, and you just go there and certainly feel for all of those people, and then also just to think that they have no idea. And,
yeah.
It's really tough as people that know that there are things, but it changes someone's entire paradigm of how they think about everything. And so it's powerful, but it's not an easy, you know, it's not always an easy thing to grasp and realize that, you know, so many people think that illness is, you know, kind of something that happens to them, and then they have to go through the process, and this is the way the treatment goes, and you have to do chemotherapy, and you're going to get really sick, and, you know, maybe some people need to do that, and maybe there's some whatever, but for people to, I mean, I always think, well, how interesting, people don't even know that that's a belief system, and that they're living inside this structure of rules that they don't even know that there's other rules.
Yeah. That's totally right. And I find as well that most of the time when you do end up, when you, for example, you're only just starting out in your learning, mm-hmm. and you just don't feel good, and you go to a doctor, mm-hmm. and sometimes, unfortunately, because of our medical systems and they're still being so overburdened, they somehow don't have enough time to be able to explain to you what is really going on in your body,
mm-hmm.
and help you identify the foods that are not really reacting well with you. And, you know, unfortunately, it's so easy these days to be prescribed a pill and believe that that's the only way out.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in the film, in Food Matters, you guys talk and explain that very notion that the medical professions and doctors do not study nutrition. They don't understand this componentry of how the body is working such that the body itself would heal. That's just not their area.
That's right. Hi, Martin. I'm back on the line.
Oh,
now.
Hey there.
Yeah, I totally agree. And part of the process of the film was looking at the economics behind the industry, behind, I guess, the medical industry, so we could understand more about why doctors are not trained in nutrition, why are these major medical schools not focusing on these alternatives.
Mm-hmm.
And what it comes down to, I guess, the crux of our argument, I guess, or the crux of our explanation is that if you take an apple, for example, or vitamin C, something that's naturally occurring in nature, you cannot patent that substance and make exclusive profits off it.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no benefit to any corporation or to any government supporting any corporate initiatives for advertising to the whole population to eat more apples,
right.
or eat more organic apples because they're good for your health. It just doesn't work that way. Yet the power of eating these foods and going through these processes of naturally rejuvenating the body and detoxifying the body are very powerful.
Mm.
Well, and the film evidences that this information is being systematically suppressed in certainly in the U.S.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, we found that quite a surprising element of the film, where we just thought that this information was not available because there was no money in making this information available to people. But then as we discovered more about one of the teachers in our film, Andrew Saul, he's the assistant editor for the Journal of Orthomolecular Medicine. Their journal, for the last 40 years, which looks at therapeutic nutrition and the use of vitamins and supplements as well as whole food nutrition in reversing disease, has been not published in the main medical journals, which combine all this information and then deliver that information to doctors. So what we're finding is a lot of this researched information that we show in our film has been researched, is scientific, but is not available to doctors, and hence most people are not going to know about it.
Wow.
Until our film becomes more widely known, we hope.
Wow.
Right. And then you really, really poignantly point out here that in use this time frame of 23 years, that in 23 years, the 23-year period, there were 2.4 million deaths accidentally from drugs that were being properly utilized and prescribed, and not from side effects, but from the drugs themselves, accidental deaths in 23 years. And by vitamins, there were 10 deaths, roughly attributed potentially to vitamins, in that period of time. Yet the power of the use of vitamins and all this information and knowledge that you're talking about that's scientifically validated and written up and explained around the rest of the world hasn't been, you know, and is actually being suppressed here in the U.S. I mean, it really just points a very solid picture about what you're calling the sickness industry here.
Yeah, that's great. I'm glad it comes across so strong. I guess we really wanted to show that we have a safe, cheap, and effective methodology for healing disease. And then on the other hand, we have a very expensive, at times very dangerous methodology for not treating disease, but for merely, I guess, treating the symptoms of disease through conventional therapies.
Right.
And the conventional route is causing a considerable amount of, in this particular instance, deaths per year or over that 23-year period, and then the more natural approach is not having such a bad influence at all by a much, much less amount. So I think what we're trying to point out is that, you know, really weighing the favor of using nutrition and natural approaches by pointing out the dangers of conventional therapy, which most people are not aware about.
Mm, absolutely.
I want to talk a little bit about, you talk about several different disorders kind of as examples or case studies, about things like cancer and the effects of nutrition and heart disease and diabetes and mental health, which I thought was really interesting. I loved how you brought up the Columbine thing.
Oh, sure. Excellent. Great. Yeah. One of our favorite contributors, Philip Day, he's an author and investigative journalist from the United Kingdom. And, yeah, that's really a really great little piece of information that I'm sure most people aren't aware of, that's for sure.
Yeah. And so for the we'll leave that for people so that they need to see the movie Food Matters, but there's some really good things just around understanding, like you said, pointing out how harmful some of the just normal expected course of treatments can be and how simple and some repressed the information about nutrition is and its benefits. But I wanted to talk also just about my other, I don't want to say favorite one, because it's not certainly my favorite, but the cancer one is really powerful in that I want to just talk about, I think most people don't know that it's only legal to treat cancer with certain approaches. Can you talk about what tell us more, is that true? And what are those things?
Well, actually, Julie, it is, and it's an absolutely startling fact. It's only legal to be able to so-called cure cancer or treat cancer in, let's take our example countries, which we use in the film, America, United Kingdom, and Australia. It's only legal to cure cancer using chemotherapy, radiotherapy, and surgery. And so any other alternative treatments, it is illegal as a practitioner or someone to treat or to attempt to cure somebody using natural approaches. But what we found absolutely startling in the film was that the AMA themselves in America is saying that 30% of people, only 30% of people, survive the five-year mark with any type of cancer and with any stage as when they're first diagnosed. so stage 1 to 4, only 30% of people are surviving the 5-year mark, which means that 70% of people are dying from cancer within 5 years after being diagnosed with any type of cancer or with any stage of cancer. Now, then we have a look at one particular therapy as a case in point, which we look at, and they have a success rate of over 50%, and in some cases with particular types of cancer, much higher. And their clients exist of primarily stage 4 and stage cancer patients.
Wow.
So if they're achieving 50% and over with a lot of other types of cancers, with only stage 4, the most terminally ill patients, and most of the patients that go to these clinics have been told by conventional medicine to go get their finances in order, to go pack up their things, get their will sorted out because they're going to die. They go to these clinics as a last hope, and at these clinics they're introducing massive amounts of nutrients into the body through organic fruits and vegetable juices, mostly vegetable juices, tons of vegetable juices a day, and enemas and colonics to clear out the build-up of toxicity that the body's been had dumped on it through the development of the cancer over the years, and additionally where most people have undergone toxic therapies, and they're achieving a fantastic result. And I think it's just
that
on its own, I mean, and then you look at the fact that it's illegal to practice a natural holistic approach to treating cancer in these countries, in America, Australia, and the United Kingdom, and it's just, it's disheartening. I feel almost sickened by the fact that somebody who has cancer cannot choose a therapy that they feel is right for them. And I think the main element of what we want to have people come out of, especially that section we have on cancer, which we've devoted a lot of time to in the film, which I think is a very important area because of the stigma we have surrounding cancer in our society,
mm-hmm.
The main point we want to have people come away with is that we want to open up people's opportunities and choices they have for healing so that when somebody has cancer, they can choose what they feel is right for them. And if they feel that whole natural approach by supporting the body and having the body eliminate the cancer naturally is right for them, then fantastic. But if they choose conventional is right for them, then great as well. But I think people should be aware of the dangers and the benefits of each of them.
Right.
Absolutely. That is a point that we're continually make, is letting people, is just noticing that in so many areas choice is seeming to be removed from people. I mean, we've talked quite a bit about the natural birth issue and the cesarean rates certainly in the U.S. and in the Western world, and how there's just no choice in the matter anymore. People are being pushed into procedures and into ways of being and living that are not healthful for them, and we need to do all that we can to help remind them that these choices are there and that they are successful, and by giving them these extreme examples opens up, I believe, people's just belief systems and becomes possible for them, and then, you know, from there you can begin to take action.
That's right. That's an issue we find very insightful as well, and maybe there's a new film, Baby Matters, in the pipe work. We're not sure yet, but we'll let you know.
And one other thing that I felt just really alarming. I mean, this movie, Food Matters, is a cacophony of wake-up calls. I mean, you hear so many pieces of information that just my jaw drops when you cover here about how easy it is for these pharmaceutical drugs to get onto the market, and how, you know, a lot of it's really still trial and error after the fact, and that 20% of TV ads are drug commercials. It helps us understand, how do we get here? Yeah.
Well, I think, and nobody's to blame in this situation. I think what we see in our society at the moment is really a culmination of how we've created our society to work, and our society is based on a capitalistic structure, and we can't deny that. And what some of the teachers in our film Food Matters go to explain is that, you know, it's not their fault. It's not a drug company's fault that they've created a drug to treat the symptoms of, say, heartburn, for example. Because people have heartburn, there's a demand for their heartburn symptoms to go away, so a drug is created. That's fine. I don't see a problem with that. I see that as being an efficient system, and somebody's capitalizing on that system, and that's how we've created our society. That's how our corporations, our systems are modeled off. I mean, it's this whole instant gratification model. We want instant relief. We want instant pain relief. We want instant disease care management. We want to go in and have our fat gut cut off. We want to have our tumor cut out. We want instant gratification. But I think as we educate people more about the importance of why am I getting fat in the first place? Why do I have this tumor or this cancer in the first place? Why do I have heart disease? Why do I have reflux or gastrointestinal problems? And then when you look at those symptoms and you look at what's underlying those symptoms, you look at it's mostly a metabolic dysfunction. It's mostly a function of eating the improper foods, either foods that are improper for your body type or foods that are improper for you based on any particular allergies, or just eating food that is not good for humans whatsoever, highly processed, highly artificial foods. And I think when we start to look at what's underlying a lot of these issues and people start to learn more about what's underlying those issues, then we hope people can reach for food instead of drugs in the future.
Absolutely. So we have about 10 minutes left, and in that time, I figured we would just cover maybe a couple of other themes that you really want to get across to people. I mean, you have this huge opportunity now. This information is getting out across the world, and kind of in a nutshell, how do you want people to be different after they view the movie?
Did you say we got 10 minutes left? I think what's really important here is that people have the information available to them, and what you're doing through your radio show and through Nourishing Hope, and I think is really about helping truth seekers seek the truth. And I think that is the most powerful thing that we have available to us today. Thank you so much for the internet. You know, that is such an amazing resource. It is also really confusing as well, because if you look in natural cures for cancer in Google, I mean, that's probably the most confusing search you can do on the internet. I mean, so what we need to look at now is quality information. We need to look at information that's presented and delivered in a way that basically enables the truth to be delivered in a powerful and credible and a really great way. And that's our focus through the film. And I'd really like to, I have a massive depth of gratitude to owe Michael Moore. And you might be thinking, well, that's a bit strange. But I think Michael Moore really helped pave the way for what we like to call cinema verite, which is truth through cinema. And we live in a time where a film can be created. Say, for instance, Michael Moore can create a film dissing the president of the United States of America, whether it's right or wrong. I mean, it doesn't matter, but still he can create that film and show it in cinemas across the country and have millions of people open to that information. 25 years ago, that would be impossible. 25 years ago, 50 years ago or more, I mean, if you made a film about the pharmaceutical industry, I mean, you would be shot. 25 years ago, if you made a film about, I don't know, some controversial topics, you're open to a significant amount of pressure, and a lot of the times that information won't be allowed to get to the marketplace. But I think now we live in a stage where this information is freely flowing through the internet and freely flowing through the mediums of film that we have available to us. And I think that we are extremely fortunate to be able to live in this time where we can create a film and we can create Food Matters and really educate people about the importance of nutrition and the importance of nutritional therapy in preventing and even reversing chronic illness, as well as pointing out some of the dangers of the approaches that we've been led to believe are best for our health when really might be quite damaging.
Now, folks can go to foodmatters.tv and see the trailer of the film there. They can also pick up the DVD. And we're having a screening. We should announce this, of course, here on our show. Julie and I are holding a San Francisco screening of Food Matters on Thursday evening, July 17th. And you can get the information on that. We'll put up a link at realitysandwichradio.com after the show. And you'll be able to hear the show again afterwards. And we'll have a link there directly to the information for the San Francisco screening Thursday evening, July 17th, up at the Random Museum here.
And I just wanted to find out for you before we go, what are your plans? Are you do you have any plans to, have any interviews, openings, you know, what are the plan for the two of you as this movie comes out in the next couple months? What are you going to be up to?
Well, we're at the moment, we're trying to handle getting all our systems in place so that people can have this information to deliver to them as efficiently as possible. It's been very exciting to work with Vividas, our technology provider, who's allowing people to access our film online and view the film online in a pay-per-view format. So no matter where they are in the world, they can get instantaneous access to our film.
Great.
Additionally, working with our wholesaling and getting our system set up. But we're planning on venturing back over to America in the near future. And we're just really, what excites us most is meeting up with like-minded people like yourself and getting to community screenings and trying to achieve a great amount of exposure for our message and helping people who have a similar message, such as yourself, improve working together so we can improve our combined exposure and help have this message reach as many people as possible.
Mm. Beautiful, beautiful. We so appreciate your allowing yourselves to take action on your inner passions and creating this film and putting it all out there for all of us. When you do make it to San Francisco, we will take you out to some incredible raw food.
Yes,
at Cafe Gratitude here in the city. I'm not sure if you've heard of them, but you'll love it.
Have you ever heard of Cafe Gratitude by any chance? I don't know if you've ever been to the
Bay Area. We've not been to San Francisco. We didn't go there last time, but we have definitely heard of Cafe Gratitude. We like to keep on top of everything that's happening, even though it might not be in our own country. But we love the availability of some really great food and restaurants in America. And we think that actually you guys are moving in a very fast pace in the right direction. So we're really excited about that, and we can't wait to get back to America, actually.
All right, great. Well, thank you so much for being on today. And tell Laurentine thank you as well. It was a pleasure.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Julie. Thanks, Ron. It's been fantastic.
Thank you. All the best with the film, and we hope to see you in the next couple of months here in America.
That sounds great. Thanks so much, guys. We'll see you soon.
Bye.
Wow, they were great. What an incredible interview.
It was really a pleasure to have them on and get to really understand a little bit of the person and the belief systems and things of the people behind the movie. They really get a good understanding of where they were coming from. It was really a great, I thought, snapshot in understanding into that.
Yeah, such passion and desire to actually take action and you know, positively impact the world in this way.
Food Matters. And we have a screening coming up. Remind people again, it's going to be...
That's right, on July 17th here in San Francisco, Thursday evening. Folks can get the information. We'll put up a link right there at realitysandwichradio.com. A link where you can learn more about the screening that we're doing. And we're going to be up at the Random Museum, and we'll be having a screening of the entire film, Food Matters, that night. All together, we're hoping about 180 people will come together. We'll have a screening of the film, and then we'll have some discussion and dialogue afterwards about some of the salient points, and we'll have lots of information about quality foods and such from around the Bay Area.
Yes, so everybody check that out. We would love to see you. It's going to be a great time.
All right, so anything else to share with folks that's coming up, Julie, other than your cooking class this Sunday, Cooking to Heal? People can get information about that at cookingtoheal.org.
Yes,
and,
you know, a lot of times on the show we talk about digestive disorders and various conditions that have a lot of digestive components like autism and other things as well, not only digestive conditions themselves, but other conditions that have digestive foundations. And so we are going to be talking all about good foods to heal up the gut, to reduce inflammation, to help people feel better. So that is going to be on Sunday. And if people want more information, they can go to cookingtoheal.org.
Excellent. You've been listening to 89.5 KPOO San Francisco. This is Reality Sandwich. We're here every Thursday at noon. You can get this show and all past shows of Reality Sandwich for free download at realitysandwichradio.com. My name is Martin Matthews. I'm a certified medical hypnotherapist with Health for Living, and most importantly, an advocate for Health for Living. And I've been here today with my partner,
Julie Matthews, a certified nutrition consultant.
And today we've been speaking all about Food Matters, foodmatters.tv. And remember, all change begins with you. Thanks for listening.